Thank you, Leah. Thank you, Lawrence. Turn in your Bibles again to Luke chapter 10 as we continue our study through the book of Luke. We come to a passage, the Good Samaritan, and some other verses around that. Good Samaritan is a well-known story. We hear a lot of talk about that, and so we're going to be looking at that this morning. And as we do, we're going to see three things. That sounds like me trying to play the guitar. First, we will see the people involved and their attitudes to the victim, and then some particulars in the Samaritan's ministry, and then purposes involved in being a neighbor. You remember the story of a man that was lying on the side of the road, and three people came by, a priest and a Levite and a Samaritan, and the first two went by on the other side, and the Samaritan came and ministered to him, and of course this lawyer had come to Jesus, you know, asking him what he could do to inherit eternal life, and Jesus answered him, and the man had a really good answer. And Jesus' response, as we read a moment ago in verse 28, he says, "Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live." Well, he knew some things in his mind, but he wasn't doing them. And God didn't give us the scriptures and didn't give us the parable of the Good Samaritan just so we can know more things. But he's given us the scriptures so that we might do them and that we might honor him with the things that we do. And so the setting that we see here from last week, you remember that Jesus had told the 70 to go out two by two, and he would give them power, power to raise the dead, power to heal from diseases, power to cast out demons. And he revealed this in verse 21, says, not to the wise and prudent, but to babes. And the word babes, not referring to babies, and certainly not referring to the way the word babes is used today in our vernacular, but he was talking about those who are young and simple, not those who are princes, but common people. And God revealed power there, and he performed many miracles through them, and the God who performed those miracles then is the same God we serve. He has the same power to do today what he did through these servants back then. But not only did he reveal the power of God, in verse 22 it says, "All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him." And so for us to be able to know God, the Father, he must reveal himself to us. We can't just choose, oh, I want to go know God and know him without the aid of his Son. It tells us here the only way a person can know God is through Jesus. We know that he's the only way. He's the only way to be saved. He's the only way to get to God. He's the only way to know God. And Jesus revealed to people who God is. And he's revealed him to us. And Jesus says, you're really a blessed people. He says, prophets and men of old have longed to see the things that you have seen. They heard about the Messiah coming, that he was going to be born and that he was going to do these wonderful things. And they heard about these wonderful things. And Jesus said to them, you are very blessed to be able to see what you see and hear what you are hearing there. And in the midst of all of this and talking to them about how blessed they are to be able to see these miraculous things done, this lawyer comes to him and it says he tempted him in verse 25. He's trying to trick him, trip him up. It never works with Jesus, does it? He always has the answer. He knows what people are thinking. He knows what motives they have. And so in this setting, he gives to us the Good Samaritan. And this story of the Good Samaritan, though it was given a couple thousand years ago, it is so relevant for today. When we look at this story and we see all the things happening in this story, notice some of the things that we see. We see violence. Here was a man who was going on a journey and he was attacked and he was just left on the side of the road there and no doubt robbed. There was crime. There was racial discrimination because the Jews and the Samaritans, they didn't want anything to do with each other there. And we also see that there was hatred towards one another. There was neglect. Two of them, the priest and the Levite, they saw the man suffering on the side of the road and they crossed over and went on the other side and just neglected him. And we hear a lot about neglect today. If we are guilty of neglect, we can even be brought into a lawsuit if we do that in a school or church or anything else. And so many things here, people just not concerned at all for this man who was hurt. And so Jesus gives this story. And as he's giving the story, he's doing that in response to the lawyer, because the lawyer had this wonderful answer that you love the Lord with all of your heart and soul and strength and your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And so Jesus said, do that. And so the man, willing to justify himself, excuse me, he asked the question, well, who is my neighbor? And so that brings us to the people involved and their attitudes to the victim. In this story that Jesus gives in verse 30, he said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead, you know. And so here they come, and they are attacking this man, and he's lying there, half dead on the road. And so the first we see the thieves, and to them, this man was just a victim to exploit. And don't we have people like that today? We have people that are just mean and vicious, and whatever they can get for themselves, they'll get. They don't care if they have to break into someone's house, shoot someone, take what they want. There's so much of that going on today. It was going on there as well. And so these thieves were going to use this man to their own advantage. And they have totally reversed what God wants us to do when it comes to material things and people. Here they were going to use this person to get material things when God has given us things to use to serve people. They had it backwards there. And so the thieves, they just wanted to exploit him. Notice also the priest and the Levite. And he was just a nuisance to avoid. They came to him on one side of the road. It tells us in verse 31, by chance there came down a priest that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side, and likewise the Levite. When he was at the place, he came and he looked on him, and he passed by on the other side. And so maybe they had some reasons in their own mind. We call them excuses, don't they? Maybe they said, the priest said, well, I've been serving at the temple all day. There, I've done my part. You know, I think I'll leave it. He looks behind him, and oh, here comes the Levite. You know, he'll take care of him there. In the book of 1 Kings, God came to Obadiah, the prophet, and he told him to go to King Ahab and tell King Ahab, who had been looking for Elijah, that Elijah's here. And Obadiah said, Lord, you know, as soon as I go and tell him that Elijah's going to be gone, and that's going to be my head, he says, don't you know what I did whenever Jezebel was after the prophets and how I hid 100 men in a cave and I fed them and took care of them? I've done my part, Lord, and now you want me to go do this? You know, and isn't that what we do sometimes? You know, let's leave it to someone else. I've done my part there. And I don't think we can ever do enough, can we, there? Well, maybe the priest and the Levite, they said, well, I need to get back home. I am busy. And aren't we all busy? And so maybe they said, well, it's not my fault. I'm not the one who attacked the man and left him there. Maybe they could have done something to prevent it. It was a dangerous road. Maybe they could have done something in advance to make the way a little bit safer there. Maybe they said, we'll just let somebody else do it. It's what we call the sin of omission there. I mentioned the priest may have looked behind him and saw the Levite and said, oh, here comes the Levite. He'll take care of it. And here comes the Levite up to the man. And he says, well, the priest didn't do it. Why should I? You know. And so we start looking at what other people are doing and not doing, and they omitted to do what they should have done. When Brother Van Gelderen was here, remember he preached on that on Sunday morning. God forbid that I would sin in ceasing to pray for you, omitting to pray like we ought there. James 4:17 says, him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So here comes the priest and Levi, and they know that here's a man hurting, suffering. They know the right thing to do is to help the man, but they didn't do it. So therefore, they sinned there. Well, what about the thief? Well, he sinned. Which one was worse? The thief exploiting this man and beating him and leaving him half dead, or the two who left him that way and didn't do anything? Well, we can categorize sins and weigh them and say one is worse than the other, but they were both at fault, weren't they? So the thieves, he was a victim to exploit. The priest and the Levite, he was a nuisance to avoid. And then there's the lawyer. To him, the man was just a problem to discuss. In verse 29, he said, willing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? There. And oftentimes people do that today. You know, we have discussions, we have seminars, you know, on things, whether it's education or seminars on crime or drug education, sex education, have all these kinds of seminars on soul winning, on music, on worship, and which one is right, and all of that. And there's a time for discussions, but there's also a time to be active and do something here. And so the right question that the lawyer should have asked, rather than who is my neighbor, our question should be, to whom can I be a neighbor? there. As if we're purposely looking for people on the side of the road that we can help, we should do that and be a neighbor. Not debating it, but doing something to help. Let's look at the inn host. To him, this man was just a customer to serve. In verse 35, since on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and he gave to the host. And he said to him, take care of him. And here's a man who's doing his duty. He's getting paid to do it there. And of course, he may have been willing to do it anyway. We don't know. But there are some people who serve the Lord just out of duty. Aren't you glad to know that the Lord sees our motive as well? So that when we are fulfilling our duty like we're supposed to do, we're not just doing it as an outward act of duty, but there's really a desire to please the Lord in fulfilling my duties. God sees that as well. He certainly sees when we don't fulfill our duties there. And our desire should be to please God, not just to get our job done, but to do it in a way with a motive to be a neighbor there. Well, let's come to the Samaritan. We see the Samaritan who came and he helped the man. He took care of him. He took him to the inn. He took out and paid him 2 pence and told the inn host there, if he owes you anything else, I'm coming back this way. And when I do, I'll repay you anything. And so Jesus asked the question in verse 36, which of now of these three thinkest thou? Now he's making it particular, specific to the lawyer. Who was neighbor to him that fell among the thieves? And notice his answer. He that showed mercy on him. And so he knew the answer. He knew which one was right. But even in his answer, he didn't say the Samaritan, did he? He avoided even giving credit to the Samaritan because there was still that hatred there. In John 4:9, it tells us that the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans there. And so they didn't have anything to do with each other. And this history of this animosity and hatred was about 750 years old at this time, because in 722 BC, Assyria captured the northern kingdom of Israel, and about 20,000 foreigners invaded the land, and they intermarried, and what developed was what we would refer to as a half-breed, the Jews and these foreigners there, these Gentiles, and so they intermarried there, and it was this mixed race, and they hated them there. And so the issue here is not about race, but it was about God's people intermarrying with non-believers. That was true in the Old Testament, and their biblical principle is in the New Testament too, isn't it? Because the Bible says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And so here were these that were offspring of God's people and the heathen, and they were hated, and because they were hated, they hated them back. You know? And so here was this animosity, and this Samaritan, though they were looked down upon by the Jews, he was the one who actually was a neighbor. He went and he helped this man. He took care of him. He paid from his own money to make sure he was cared for there, and he was going to come back and check on him again. So let's look at this Good Samaritan, and let's look at some of the particulars in his ministry there. Verse 33 is the first thing. It says, a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, he came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. The little book of Jude, verse 22, it says, and on some, having compassion, making a difference. Compassion makes a difference. It's not pity. Pity is, you know, maybe just feeling sorry for someone. And he had that, but compassion is acting on the pity that we feel. And so here's this Samaritan who was showing compassion there. It's a love that moves someone to action there. And so he was going to take care of this man. Remember when Jesus saw the multitudes, he said he saw them as sheep without a shepherd, and he was moved with compassion. And so when we have genuine biblical compassion, it is going to be much more than just feeling sorry for people who are in need, but it's going to involve doing something to help them. And that often involves contact in verse 34. Because when he saw the man, in contrast to the priest and the Levite, who crossed over and went over on the other side, he went to him and he didn't say, oh, this must be a trick. This man's lying in wait and I bet there's some more of these people waiting to attack me there. And oftentimes, you know, it's true we have to be careful nowadays, don't we? Because there are people who will trick us and try to deceive us and harm us as well. But love looks at opportunities. It doesn't look at obstacles. And there may have been some obstacles, but here was this man who had this genuine compassion, and he went to him. And not only did he do that, verse 34, it says he went to him, he bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and he set him on his beast, and he brought him to an inn. And notice what it says, he took care of him. So not only did we see the compassion and the contact, but he did something practical. He didn't avoid it. He did what he could. He didn't discuss it. That's what the lawyer wanted to do, was just discuss it there. The golden rule we read about in Luke chapter 6, which is indeed a golden rule to follow, isn't it? As you would that men do to you, do to them. And think about that in the Good Samaritan. Here's this man who's been beaten and robbed and left half dead. If someone comes by, wouldn't you want them to stop and help you? So if we would want somebody to stop and do that for us, then we should stop and do that for them, the Good Samaritan, even though the lawyer wasn't going to acknowledge that a Samaritan could ever do anything good. Well, we see the fourth particular in this Samaritan, and that was cost. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and he gave them to the host. And he said, you take care of him, and if there's anything else you spend, in verse 35, when I come again, I will repay thee. And so it cost him more than money. We see that he paid for it, but it cost him his time. It tells us in verse 33 that he was on a journey. A certain Samaritan, as he journeyed. Maybe he was late for his appointment there. So it cost him some time. It cost him some money. It may have even cost him some friends. You know, if I stop and somebody sees me taking care of this person, what are they going to think? If I'm a Samaritan taking care of a Jew, or a Jew taking care of a Samaritan, if I'm stopping to help this person and somebody sees me, oh, it's going to hurt my reputation. And so we can make any kind of excuse. So it may have cost him various things there. But he wasn't concerned about those things. He was concerned about the man in need. And so he goes to him and he shows compassion on him there. And then we come to some purposes involved in being a neighbor. In verse 15, once again it says that on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and he gave them to the host, and he said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. And so he obviously, being on this journey, he had some other things to do. He had some other responsibilities. And he was going to take care of those as well. And so he didn't just leave him to fend for himself, but he took him to the host and he made sure that he had what he needed. And then in verse 36, Jesus asked the question to the lawyer, and he asked us as well, which now of these three thinkest thou? And that's a singular pronoun. And so for each one of us, which one was a neighbor to him that fell among the thieves? And the lawyer said, he that showed mercy on him. And Jesus said to him, go and do thou likewise. Remember what the lawyer, he wanted to discuss. He wanted to debate. And Jesus is saying to him, go and do. It's not enough just to know the right answer, but you've got to go and do likewise.
So verse 37, notice the word mercy. He responded, he that showed mercy on him. Aren't you thankful for mercy? Aren't you thankful that God shows mercy on us, that he provides salvation for us, because we indeed were lost and in need of help, just like this one who was on the side of the road, half dead. And so we look next at the purposes involved in being a neighbor. Our primary purpose should be to please the Lord. Oh, we want to help others, but we want to please God, because if we have the compassion that God has, if we want to be like the Lord, he is a compassionate God, and we should want to please him. But we also see whenever this Samaritan went and ministered to the man in need, it benefited him. So it profits others. So whenever we have a compassionate heart, a heart that moves us beyond just feeling sorry for people and seeing the need and doing whatever we can. Maybe we don't have 2 pence. We can't give them 2 pence. What can we do there? We can do something that would benefit others, because we sing songs like, make me a channel of blessing. Lord, as I come across others, how can I be a blessing to others? I can't give them $1 million because I don't have $1 million to give, but what can I do to be a blessing and to be an encouragement and a help to someone else? And then the third purpose in this, I mentioned earlier that God sees our motives as well, why we fulfill some duties that we have, and it proves us as well. It proves us to God that we are indeed a servant, and God wants us to have a servant's heart. You've no doubt seen the acrostic joy when people have taken the word joy and said, when you have joy, you have Jesus first, others second, and yourself third. So the J-O-Y. And that's what this Good Samaritan is doing. He's putting the Lord first because he wants to please the Lord, and he wants to do something that's profitable to a person in need. And as he does that, he is commended. He's commended by Jesus to the lawyer and all the others who are standing around learning this lesson and what this Good Samaritan did. He set aside himself to minister to someone else because of his devotion to God. And that's what we have to do. If we're going to be a servant and minister to others, we oftentimes have to set aside self. We might be on a journey. We might have 2 pence, but I've got plans for that 2 pence. Or we might not have time. But whenever we surrender some of our time, we surrender some of our money, we might even surrender some of our friends, and we do that, we see a wonderful picture here of what Christ has done for us. And so as we look at this Good Samaritan and the story as Jesus is telling this, think about what Christ did for us. He found us as lost sinners on the road of life. We were half dead, dead in our trespasses and sins, unable to help at all, waiting for someone and come by and do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. And Jesus came from heaven's glory, and he came to where we were. And he had compassion, and then he had contact. He came to where we were. He met all of our needs. He did show compassion. And just as the Good Samaritan, he paid the full price. He paid the price of his blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And he paid it in full. And as the Good Samaritan told the inn host, he says, and if there's anything else, he says, I'm coming back. And I will pay you if you have spent anything else on him. And Jesus is coming back as well. And will he find us being Good Samaritans? Will he find us being vessels of service? Or will he find us just taking care of self? I've got too much to do. I don't have time for this. Somebody else is going to take care of it. I've done my duty. Have I not hid the 100 like Obadiah said? I've done my part. It's time for the younger people to do it. Time for so-and-so to do it. Time for the pastor to do it. You know, we can make many, many excuses. And that's what the others did. But God is not looking for excuses. He's looking for people, as he says to the lawyer in verse 37, go and do likewise. Notice the little pronoun before that, thou. So he said to this lawyer who wouldn't even use the word Samaritan, he says, I want you to be like this Samaritan. I want you to go and show mercy. I want you to take the time. I want you to spend your own money. I want you to care for him and make sure that he has all of his needs met. Isn't it a wonderful thing that God can use us to be compassionate to others so that they can see the compassion of God and what he's done for us as we were stranded along the side of the road, lost, beaten by sin, and on our way to eternity without Christ. But he came to where we were. A song that says, he reached down his hand for me. And that's what this Good Samaritan did. And that's what Christ has done for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your compassion. We thank you for coming to where we were. We celebrate Christmas, the incarnation, God coming to earth, way down from heaven's glory, because we were here on earth, dead in our trespasses and sins. And you showed compassion on us, and you paid the full cost of our restoration. And you're coming back. Lord, we thank you for that. Help us while we are waiting your return, that we might be as good Samaritans, that we might be looking for those to whom we can minister rather than for looking for excuses to why we can't do it. Lord, convict us whenever we have these sins of omission. And thank you that we have opportunities to get those things right with you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.